it's obvious that when these two team up, the result is magical.
This Week in Tennis.
And we brought this dynamic duo together once again.
Welcome to This Week in Tennis.
Welcome to This Week in Tennis. My name is Phil Nasons. His name is Craig Doyle, and we're here to talk Australian Open tennis. What's happening, Craig?
Yeah, it's been quite a fun week at the Australian Open. A couple of little surprises, but, you know, for the most part, we seem to be heading to the inevitable conclusion. Don't you agree?
I definitely agree. It hasn't been a fun week.
Not for everyone, I guess. You know, I've enjoyed some of the tennis that's been on. As you know, because of my situation with the time zone, I tend to only see the late night matches. So, you know, those fireworks I was really hoping for between Nadal and Kyrgios, that didn't quite transpire. But I think we've had a few other things that we can chat about that, let's say, they've been quite interesting.
Well, yeah, and unfortunate, too. Unfortunate, too. What we're referring to is a Legends match where John McEnroe and Martina Navratilova took part in. And after the match, Martina Navratilova got into the chair umpire's chair and was on the microphone denouncing the naming of Margaret Court Arena and hoping that the Tennis Australia would rename the court after Yvonne Goolagong-Cawley. And that has created a firestorm. The Australian Open officials shut off the mic, and all hell broke loose. And here we are talking about it. And, you know, boy, at the end of the day, this is a tough subject, Craig, because first off, I get Martina Navratilova's pretty upset with Margaret Court, because Margaret Court, she has the most Grand Slam titles of any lady singles titles. She has 24. But she's also been very outspoken about the homosexual community and also very outspoken about transgenders. And she's made some race comments long past her days of playing tennis. And she bases these views on her religious beliefs. And she's entitled to those opinions, just as Martina Navratilova is. But I'm not so sure that Martina did the right thing there. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's my opinion, that she's not done the right thing. I mean, Martina Navratilova is, as you say, she's entitled to her opinion, and she's entitled to voice her opinion the same way everyone else is. And she tends to do that on social media platforms, through her Twitter account, and the way she endorses people of similar opinions to herself with retweets and all these sort of things. And that's fine, you know, absolutely. I think everyone's entitled to do that on their own accounts and in their own space. And you can do it publicly via Twitter. But in this case, Martina Navratilova is a guest in the Australian Open's house, effectively the Australian Tennis Federation. She's been invited to play a Legends match. And what kind of makes this a little bit more awkward is that on Monday, the Australian Tennis Federation actually had a sort of ceremony just to sort of celebrate the number of years that have passed since Margaret Court won her 24 Grand Slams. So, you know, the Australian Open were sort of recognizing her tennis achievements. And it feels to me a lot like Martina Navratilova wanted to sort of come out and downplay that. She didn't want to recognize the tennis achievements of Margaret Court. She wanted to take on Margaret Court, the person. She wanted to take on the views of Margaret Court. I believe that Miss Court's now a preacher or of sorts in Australia. So, you know, I can understand where her views come from, and, you know, we don't all agree with her views, but for Martina Navratilova to go into business for herself on TV in a sort of hostile takeover of the sort of the Australian Open. You know, she's made huge headlines. She attempted to get herself live on TV displaying this banner. She's brought in Yvonne Goolagong onto this, who really probably hadn't commented on this up until now. So, you know, Navratilova has really just gone into business for herself on somebody else's TV time, on somebody else's contract. And you know, I don't really like that. I don't appreciate that. I don't think she had any business doing that. And to be honest, I don't think John McEnroe's done himself many favors getting involved in this.
Probably not. But there's a whole other side to this. You know, I'm very lucky, Craig, that I have someone in my life who's a lot smarter than me. I mean, it's not hard, obviously, but knows how to talk to me and understands these issues a little better than I do. See, I'm a pretty cut and dry guy, as you know. See, I think you should be able to separate what you do in the tennis court and what you did off the court and what you say off the court. And I don't think one should diminish the other. However, the things that Margaret Court says about transgender people and homosexual people are vile and filthy. You know, there are kids out there today who are bullied because, you know, and they're just trying to figure out who they are. And they're being bullied and beaten. These kids are committing suicide at a high, it's an alarming rate. And a lot of that bullying is being fueled by statements such as what Margaret Court makes. And I'm at the point where I get it. I get that she doesn't like these people. I get that her faith tells her, or her faith supports these things that she says. But I don't believe for a second that the creator of that faith would have went to that level now, or wouldn't say these things. You know, if you read your Bible, you'll see that Jesus went after the Pharisees, the religious leaders. He left the people alone, basically. And what happens when you allow these and you celebrate these people is you're allowing and you're basically, how do I put this in a right way? You're basically supporting and standing behind what she says. You know, you can't, I wish you could separate the two, but you can't do that anymore. So you can't, you just can't do that. We've got bullying is a serious thing. And every time you see her name anymore, you don't see her tennis accomplishments as much as you hear the vile and filthy and disgusting and homophobic things that she says.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. And I think, you know, there's a lot of sports stars out there, particularly older sports stars who, you know, they've made comments, whether they be sexist, whether they be homophobic, whether they be racist. And many of them are stuck mentally in the sort of times that they grew up in. However, the one thing that bothers me more about this isn't that, you know, I don't know what happened at Monday's celebration of Margaret Court, but I believe she was in attendance. She was invited as a guest of the Australian Open. I don't think that she went out to on the court, got on the microphone or had a banner with her displaying homophobic or, transphobic views, using the tennis platform to do that. I mean, maybe she did. I didn't see that event.
You know, no,
someone
she didn't.
Who has
and the people loved it. She got a standing ovation, by the way.
Yeah, and so she should for her tennis achievements.
She should.
And I'm not going to go into the religious thing because, you know, we can have like whole shows on that.
Right, of course.
That's not my area of expertise. You know, we're here to talk tennis, you know.
But, right, of course, yeah. But I'm just trying to get it all out there.
But no, I get your point. Like, you know, Margaret Court has, her name is now associated with these transphobic views, these homophobic opinions. But I think a lot of that, like, you know, she comes out and says these things. You can put her down once. But Martina Navratilova continues to throw fuel on that fire for me. She's desperate to get some sort of apology, some sort of retraction out of Margaret Court. You know, if the woman believes what she believes and that's something to do with her faith, whatever, you know, I don't think she's inciting hatred. I just generally think that's the teachings that, that she's putting out there. There will be people inciting hatred off the back of it. And, you know, I wouldn't want them to use Margaret Court as an example either. But I don't think that Navratilova should continue to try and incite discontent towards Margaret Court over it. You know, you can't just erase someone from history like what she's attempting to do by renaming the court. That, for me, is, you know, it's continuing to put this story in the spotlight, this sort of hatred. And I really don't believe there's that level of hatred there with Margaret Court. I think we really should be at the Australian Open. We should be celebrating her for her tennis and leaving it at that. If they want to continue their discussions, you know, they're welcome to use their own platforms to do that. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who would be interested in the topics that are discussed, but I think it's not something we want to see in the tennis world. We don't want to get dragged over into the current generation tournaments. It's great that we can honor these stars and bring them down there. You know, I think a lot of people come out to watch Martina Navratilova in these Legends matches. They certainly come out to watch John McEnroe. I know I've gone and watched John McEnroe in these Legends matches, but I think we... As you say, it's sometimes difficult to separate the politics and the sports side of things, but people have got to remember that this is entertainment business and we're not here for the politics side of things.
Well, that's just it, but sadly it's happened. And we wouldn't even know what Margaret Court believed if she wasn't a former Grand Slam champion either. Who would care what she had to say? But she has that platform because of tennis. She also is very familiar that there is a high level of homosexuality involved in professional tennis, especially on the women's side. She knows that. And for her to say these things about these ladies who she was a freaking pioneer for, let's not forget, you know, she was the one that they wanted to that Bobby Riggs wanted to play against because she had won the Grand Slam in 1970, if you remember. That's what they were supposed to celebrate. Am I advocating that she should be removed from the record books? Oh, hell no. She earned them damn 24 titles. I don't care what generation she played in. You go win a major, you win a major. I don't care what it is. That's a hard feat. She won 24 and four in a row. That's a big accomplishment. That should be celebrated. But the byproduct of what she says and her opinions, which she's free to voice and share, should come with some type of consequence. And when you see these numbers of these kids who commit suicide, they're already, like I said, they're all right. Their bodies are changing. They're confused about a lot of things. Now they're being bullied and picked on, fueled by these same types of things. And we see this all over the place. It's a sad thing that this is the biggest story of the tennis week, but that's the Australian Open. I'm not saying to put Yvonne Goolagong Cawley's name on the door, but I think that they should consider removing Margaret Court's name from the door. I think that's important because we have to take a stand at some point. And for God's sakes, I've been in this freaking business a long, long time. I've seen a lot of bad things. I've seen people get bullied for being gay. I've seen people bullied for being different. Hell, I was bullied as a kid because I played tennis. And look, I didn't turn out so bad, did I? End of the day is this. No kid should suffer because of irresponsible statements made by adults. And that's where I think this is. And I think that they should remove that name or at least consider removing her name from the door of that arena. That's my final statement on that. So, here we go, Craig. Let's talk about the tennis now. And you know what? Do you remember when we did the preview, we thought about Dominic Thiem and Zverev, and we thought neither one would be here where they are, and now they are in the semifinals of the Australian Open.
Yeah. It's, you know, I didn't have any guy down as winning it, but then, you know, I'm just going to tell you in about 2 minutes' time that I still don't have either of those guys down as winning it.
Right.
They have certainly, you know, outperformed what I expected. Zverev in particular has looked more impressive as it's gone on. Dominic Thiem's come up with this massive win over Nadal, three tie-break sets he won. today to beat Nadal. So, they've certainly outperformed. And I think what we said in the first show that was right, though, is that neither of us was going to back Nadal for this because we just didn't see it.
And he didn't make it through, did he? Team played great. And Zverev has played very well through this tournament. He was very strong against Wawrinka after a little hiccup in that first set. But the other player that we talked about going a little further and did was Milos Raonic. He did fine. But you've got the classic in about 10 hours. Federer Djokovic. I'm going to get this show up as fast as I can. There's no way I can support. I have to go with Djokovic. That was my pick at the beginning of it. Well, actually, I thought Kyrgios would win. It's got to be Djokovic, right?
Yeah, I don't even see a classic here. I can see Federer getting beaten quite easily by Djokovic here. Djokovic has got an astonishing record against Federer in the Grand Slams. I think he may have won his last five against Federer in Grand Slams. And I'm hearing, you know, there's little rumors on the Twitterverse that Roger Federer may be suffering from some sort of injury as well. It's, at 100%, I wouldn't fancy Federer to beat Djokovic on this court. Now at 38, with the potential that he may be carrying an injury, I struggle to see what he can do. You know, like, is he going to try and shut down every single point? You know, make it really, really quick, go real aggressive, come into the net every point. Will that even work? Because I saw Djokovic the other day against Raonic, and Raonic came into the net twice at one point, and twice Djokovic burned him on the point. The court just favors Djokovic when he's playing like he did against the likes of Raonic. He's unplayable on the surface. I would be very hard pressed to see any of these three guys taking him to five sets, let alone beating him. You know, someone might, but for me, it would be a major shock if Djokovic doesn't win.
I would be completely shocked, as I was when I saw them come out there with that flag. My God. Anyway, we got Zverev and team. Who wins that one? Because, you know, both of us are more like, with Zverev, is like, when will the exhibitions catch up to him? But it doesn't look like it has so far. And I didn't think team would get as far as he did. You know, he's more of a clay court player, but the ball sits for him there. And I'm back in team in this one.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go Zverev. That's like contrary to my last 2.5 years of beliefs that he'll never win anything. But what I like about this kid is he's got a really good game. You know, it's solid all round, and he's proven at times that he can really hang out there with the top players over the best of three sets. So I'm just wondering this year if, you know, something happened towards the end of last year for me, and it's possibly my feeling was that this guy can't turn up to the ATP 250 tournaments now and ask for that big fee. You know, last year we had a discussion and he got paid like $400,000 to turn up to an event somewhere in Africa or something, and he was like the marquee name for that event. They were going to brand it around him, and he lost in the first round, and you know, it was a bit chaos, but I think he's slipped far enough down the ATP rankings that, you know, he can't go there and he can't command that kind of fee for an exhibition or for a smaller tournament. You know, a couple of years ago when he won the tour finals, he was the next big thing. You were bringing this big star to your tournament. He was going to bring people in, buying tickets. They were going to come in and see him. And I think that's kind of fallen by the wayside a little bit. You know, when you're down at number 6 or 7 or 8 or whatever he is in the World Tour rankings, you've not got the name power like a Djokovic, or you've not even got the potential to even think about getting to that level. And these tournament organizers are like, well, we're not going to pay to get this guy in. He's not bringing the crowd in. So I think he's maybe had a look at his schedule, sat down with his father, who's probably been pushing him to do all these exhibitions in the first place to get the money in. And they've probably thought, you know, this is the time. We're going to cut down on the exhibitions. We're going to cut down on these ATP 250 level tournaments that don't mean anything. And we're going to see if we can win a big one, get some name value, build up a head of steam, and really build this kid into the next big brand name in tennis. And there's a few kids, you know, we've mentioned them in the past few shows. Stefanos Tsitsipas, Denis Shapovalov, Daniil Medvedev. Yeah, you've got all these kids, and someone's going to have to be the next big thing, and they're all looking at it. And I think, you know, Alexander Zverev is as good as any of these. He's proven that he can beat the top guys. He's in a semifinal for the first time. He's still a real young guy. So I think they're going to change tactics with him this year, and I think we might see a little bit more of this kid as the year goes on, and maybe this will be his year.
Could be. We'll have to wait and see. Now, the women's side of things is a little different. We both were in agreement about Serena Williams, and she just looks slow. But my girl Ashley Barty is in the semifinals, correct? And she's playing against girl Kennan. Hey, look, we got an American in the top four.
I'm going to back the American to win it. I think she's like the least likely out of all the ones left to win it, but right? I'm going to back her.
Why not? I mean, I like the way she's playing.
She's just different, you know. Why not? You know, she's going to be an outside bet. You're going to get you go take that bet on right now. I'm sure the money on it's looking good. Nobody will fancy her to win it from here, because I think, you know, Barty's going to be favorite. Simona Halep's going to be second favorite, maybe equal favorite. You know, this kid, she's going to have to probably beat both of them to win it, but why not?
Hey, why not? I still think Barty might win it, but, you know, I picked her at the beginning of the tournament, so I should stay with that.
If Barty wins it, maybe they'll name the arena after her.
Well, they might have to.
She's Australian, she?
Yeah, right. She could. You know what? That would be a great accomplishment and a great achievement. Because I do see the burden. Remember we talked about the burden she had with all the fires and stuff? This is a perfect opportunity for her. But this Kennan, she's playing effortless tennis. And she is looking good doing it. She smoked Jabbar yesterday. And she looked good doing it. The great match was when she beat Coco Gauff. You know, that Coco doesn't have a forehand, and she better get one quick, because if she don't, these girls are going to figure it out and run right over her. Forget all that hype. They're going to run right over her.
The hype continues. I think I read earlier she's in the Fed Cup team.
Who is?
Coco Gauff.
Oh, my Lord.
I think she's in there with Serena Williams and Kennan, I believe.
Really? Wow.
Obviously, I don't think she'll play. I think, like,
oh, right. She'll be like a practice partner.
Play, but, well, yeah, or if someone gets injured or something.
Right,
but,
maybe play doubles.
Or maybe, like, if they win their first games or something and they've got a dead rubber or something, they'll put her on or something like that. But she's definitely in there.
Or, you know what? She could play doubles with McNally.
That's a plan, yeah.
I think that might be it. But we've got one more match here. Semi-final. We got Halep and Muguruza. Now, Muguruza is unseeded. She's the only unseeded player to make it to the semifinals. She played good. Pavlyuchenko? I thought Pavlyuchenko was going to take her out, but that just didn't happen. Can she beat Halep?
Yes. In short, yeah, she can. See, this got to be Muguruza. I mean, she's one that's confused me for a while. First popped up on the scene about 2016 when she won that French Open, and then she disappeared from the scene, and then she won Wimbledon the next year, and then she disappeared from the scene, and it's like, she's got staying power. She seems to just drop off now and again. Like, she's not got the consistency like even like a Victoria Azarenka, who was always around the like top three or four, or Simona Halep, but she's got something, you know. When she manages to put the game together, this girl's capable of winning slams. Up against Halep, I think that's a really, really close matchup.
I think it's going to be a very close matchup.
I could see Muguruza winning it, because I just think she might have a little bit more weapons than Halep's got. I think like when she's on, she's probably better than Halep. I think all year round, Halep, you know, the better player. Like, she'll she'll stick in there and she'll be consistent, and you know she's always going to get to the like quarterfinals, semifinals with a slam at least. But I just have a feeling with this Muguruza that when it's her time, she just goes and wins the slam.
I think that time could be now.
But no,
she looked good. I mean, she looked. How do I put it? She looks like she's very graceful out there too, and kind of like a ballerina in a way. But at the end of the day, Halep is a tough customer. You're going to get better money on Muguruza. Don't be surprised if Halep wins, but I guess I might have to back Muguruza also. And I think that, but I honestly think that the winner is going to come from the winner of Barty and Cannon. That's what I think, Craig.
Yeah, I really would like to see Kenan winning it. It's a new face again, isn't it? It's someone different that we've not seen before, and I think she's like real young as well. So it'd be interesting to see where her potential takes us if she was to win this one. Women's tennis is crying out at the minute for a real new star.
It is. You're right.
It's had Serena Williams. It had Maria Sharapova. Like, I mean, she wasn't really like rival to Serena Williams because that was one sided. Rivalry, but she was a face. People came down to see her play. They have Venus, but Venus is kind of like on the way out as well. So they're really looking for someone to pop up and be this pillar of consistency. And I think they thought the girl Osaka was going to be that when she won two slams in a row. They really hoped that she was going to be like this new superstar that they could make the face of women's tennis, but that. You know, there's people starting to pin their hopes on Coco Gauff, but you know, it's too early yet for that to really be. You know, she's 15. You can't really pin your hopes on a 15-year-old at this stage. They don't really, you know, a lot of the players at the minute, your Muguruzas, your Haleps, they're not really household names. They're not names that people who don't follow tennis closely will associate with. So it's still really up in the air. There's that spot out there for this player to come along and just become women's tennis. You know, they're going to make a lot of money. They're going to be doing all the photo shoots, getting all the endorsements, and they're going to be winning the slams. But it's not happened, and it doesn't look like happening at the minute. And it's going to be a bit of an identity crisis for women's tennis in the next couple of years until someone comes along and becomes the new queen of women's tennis.
And who knows who that's going to be. You know, I don't think anyone's going to catch Margaret Court's record. I think Margaret Court's record is impeccable. I mean, there's just too many. And these girls don't have the consistency that a Serena Williams does. Serena Williams is not going to win another major. It's pretty obvious. It'll take a miracle for that to happen. I believe in miracles, but not that one. Craig, we're going to be off for about a month. We're going to come back for the Indian Wells event, correct?
We are, and that usually takes place in March, I believe.
Yes, it does. March, right before Easter. And then we'll have the Miami tournament as well, and then we'll take a few weeks off. Then we'll do the French Open. But it's been great being on the air with you. And, you know, the beginning of this show was tough. But, you know, sometimes this is why this show is the number one tennis show anywhere. Because we take on the tough topics. If you are someone who's being bullied because of being different, please, please, please go to someone in authority who can help you. If you are someone who thinks it's cool to bully people, it's not. The reality is you do more damage than you think you do. It might sound cute. It might sound cute to rip a kid or rip anyone for being different, but at the end of the day, it only makes you look like an asshole. For Craig Doyle, I'm Phil Nasons. Thanks for listening to This Week in Tennis.
Get up.
This Week in Tennis.